Thank you, Darren. It's kind of a hard act to follow. You know, I certainly appreciate all of our musicians. It just amazes me, the talent, especially from a guy that can hardly get a radio going, and that's my best instrument. So when I see people playing this instrument and that instrument, and they jump from one to the other and sing besides, then I certainly appreciate it. And we do appreciate all of those who lead us Sunday by Sunday in worship at this particular service. Now, I have a PowerPoint there, Paul. It's called Storyteller or Storytelling. I think it's on the screen. There we go. Thank you. So, happy Family Day. So I thought that what I would do is pick a typical Canadian family there. And you can't get much more Canadian than that. You can see the father and mother, and the father's in the lead. He's very proud of himself. And he's doing what a lot of males do. He's leading his family into danger. So really what you see that big goose doing is sort of an example of what not to do. But seriously, I want you to know that I really appreciate family. I've been blessed in that I've always been associated with a loving family. Just to give you an idea, when I was a boy, there was one time my mother was going to go to visit her sisters in Peterborough. It was a big trip, 26 miles. She was going to go away, and she was going to have some what they would call today me time. Right? It seems to become quite important, hasn't it, to have me time. Well, she was going to have some me time, and she was going to visit her sisters, and so just before she was going to go, she was standing at the old kitchen window, and my little sister and I were playing outside. And as she stood at that window and watched us playing, as the story goes, I think she started to cry. And she went over to the old telephone, called up her sisters, and said, "I won't be there." You see, for my mother, her family was everything. In fact, when she was dying at the age of 48, she had just had a heart attack. The doctors were trying to be encouraging. And even though they knew better, they told her, "You'll be fine." And my mother's last words were, "That's good. The children need me." And she closed her eyes, and she went home to be with the Lord. So that's the type of mother that I had. I don't remember her as well as I wish I could. I was only 12 years old when she went home to be with the Lord. And then my dad, who was also a wonderful person, raised us. And he remarried, and I have so much to be thankful for when I look back at my childhood. And then I can't help but mention my own family. You know, I married my beautiful wife that looks a lot younger than me, because she is. And we started our little family in 1978. And there was two of us. We were a family. And in 1981, I believe it was, Marion, who many of you will know, was added to our family. And that was one of the proudest days of my life, when I brought them home from the hospital. A few years later, if I remember right, it was 1984, we had another little girl, Cheryl. And then 1987, we had our first son. I was expecting another girl, but Andrew came along. So now I had two girls and a boy. And then that was 80, is that right, Ruth? 86, six, right? 86. And then in 87, whoop, Philip came along. So there we were. And then since that time, our family has grown And so now I think we're up to 18. And that's our family, and I appreciate family. I believe that family was designed by God. And God designed the family for the preservation of society and for the good of mankind. Unfortunately, today, the family is certainly under attack. And if you don't agree with me, I think you have your head in the sand. Man, in his wisdom, is redefining the family. Man, in his wisdom, is redefining marriage. But if we follow God's plan and God's design for the family, then it will be for our good. You know, Satan, the enemy, will do anything within his power in order to destroy your family. And I believe that that's something that each one of us has to keep in mind, especially those of you who are raising children. Satan will do anything to destroy your family. He will use anything. In fact, he will even use you, if he can, in order to destroy your family. And so we need to do everything possible and to rely upon the Lord in order to preserve and protect our family. Now, as I was thinking of speaking on this, I thought, well, I'll go to the Bible and I'll pick out a family and I'll talk about that family and get some good instruction. But the problem I ran into is if you look at the families that are listed in the Bible, the majority of them will teach you what not to do. They were disasters. Think of, I can't go into detail on them all or run out of time, but think of Abraham. He was a friend of God, but his family was a mess. And then if you think his family was a mess, think of his son Isaac and his wife Rebecca. What a disaster. Turn the two boys against each other. And then what about Jacob? Oh, another disaster. So I was getting a little discouraged. Then I thought, well, maybe I'll go to King David, the man after God's own heart. David? He was worse than them all when it comes to family. And so I kind of gave up on trying to find the family in the Bible that I would use as my instruction, because they are good instruction, but it's what not to do. So you can look at those for yourself. But you know, in the scriptures, we do have instructions for the family that are very good. And I just want to start off by mentioning three or four of them here, but they're not really the one that I'm going to concentrate on. I actually have five different instructions from the Bible for the family. The first one here, it says that children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And so when you have children, or if you have children, I hope you don't look upon them as being a bother, as crimping your lifestyle, because your children, God has given them to you, and they are a reward, and they are a responsibility, and they're your responsibility, and you have the responsibility of raising them for the Lord, and it's a tremendous responsibility. So children then are a reward. And then here's another one. Train up a child. You've all heard this one. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And you know, that verse has been shown to be true so many times. Every one of us have our own will. And oftentimes, a young person will take their own way. And it will look like they're going in the wrong direction. But then as they mature, and as they get older, then they will return to what they were taught. And so that's what that verse is all talking about. And so those of you, especially with children, make sure you teach them the right ways of God. Teach them the ways of the Bible. And so when they get old, they will not depart from it. Here's another one here. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline an instruction of the Lord. In the King James, that says the admonition and nurture of the Lord. And I think I told you this story before, but it's funny enough to tell you again. When I was heading off to university, a friend of the family wanted to pray for me, which was a good thing. So he said, sure. And so he started to pray, and he thanked God that I had been brought up in the nurture and ammunition of the Lord. The problem is, I've told that story so many times, when I say the verse, that's what I say. It's the ammunition of the Lord, but that's not really what the verse says. And then here's another good one. Do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. You know, that's something that is possible for us to do, and that is to discourage our children. And so it's such an awesome responsibility that God has given to us, and we have instruction in the Scripture to help us along. But really, what I would like to do this morning for the majority of our time is I would like to look at one other piece of instruction that we're given in order to help us as we would raise our children. It was actually instruction that Moses gave to the children of Israel. And Moses, of course, got this instruction from the Lord. But it was Moses that gave it to them. And you read of it in the book of Deuteronomy. And it's actually mentioned a couple of times. And so we'll turn, first of all, to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. So Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. And it says, only take heed to yourself. Remember, this is Moses talking to the whole congregation of Israel. And he says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. So if you're sitting here this morning thinking, my children are all on their own, this isn't for me. You see how that this is not only instruction for parents, but it's also instruction for grandparents. And we all have the responsibility of teaching our children and teaching our grandchildren what we know concerning God and the Lord Jesus. And so the Israelites are here, are being told, look, you saw wonderful things. You saw things that were amazing as you traveled in the wilderness. But now, don't forget that. Keep it in your heart and make sure that you pass it on. Make sure you tell your children, because it's important for them to know it as well. And then in chapter 6, Moses is talking to them again, and he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Now listen to this. You shall teach them diligently to your children. So you notice it wasn't supposed to be something that was haphazard. It wasn't supposed to be something that was, well, if I have the time, I'll take the time. But no, they were to diligently teach this to their children. And it says, you shall talk to them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign to your hand, and they shall be on as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And so Moses then here is telling the children of Israel that they have this responsibility, and that is to pass on what they have learned and to pass it on to their children. And so what I've sort of labeled what I want to talk about today is storytelling, because that's important, telling a story. It's the responsibility of parents and grandparents. But as I see as a problem in 2018 is this: I believe that storytelling seems to be disappearing. You see, we live such a fast pace of life, don't we? Isn't life fast-paced? There's so many things to do, so much to look after. And the pace of life seems to be increasing. We're supposed to have all these things that make life easier, and yet it seems like we're still going faster and faster as we pursue our careers and as we try to increase our standard of living, that we lose the time, or perhaps we don't take the time in order to tell our children the story, the most important story in all the world. But now, if you're going to tell a story, for you to tell that story, what's the most important thing? You have to know it yourself. Right? If you don't know the story, how can you tell it? But there's a greatest story that's ever been told. And for you to tell it, you have to know it. So I thought that, you know, I like working education into this a bit. And so I thought that today, I don't want you to get too nervous, but we're going to have a test. So now in your own mind, I would like each of you to write your name on the front of the test so that we know who it belongs to. Okay, everyone got their name on there? All right, now we'll turn the page. Now the test is on basic biblical knowledge, because if you're going to tell your children, then you have to know it yourself. Okay, so are you ready for the test? Now, I could have made up many different types of tests, true and false, fill in the blank, multiple choice, but I decided to pick the one that I liked the least, an essay. Right, for a math teacher, essays were not my favorite thing. So you have to write an essay. And then here it is. It's a one-question test. Write a 2,000-word essay. I used to count the words. Write a 2,000-word essay on the greatest story ever told. And that's it. So now if you had a paper and a pencil, what would you write? Could you write the 2,000 words? Do you know the story well enough that you could write an essay and you could tell your children what it was that you had written? Well, of course, if we're going to write on the greatest story that was ever told, then maybe we might ask the question, what is the greatest story that's ever told? So I thought, well, I'll go to Google. Isn't that where you go to find out everything? I'll go to Google first, and I'll ask the question, and I did. I said, what is the greatest story that was ever told? And I was kind of pleased with what came up, because here's what came up. It says the greatest story ever told is a 1965 American epic film produced and directed by George Stevens. It is a retelling of the story of Jesus Christ from nativity through to the resurrection. Yeah, I like that. Now, I would expand on it a bit, though. I would say that the greatest story ever told doesn't just go from the nativity through to the resurrection, but the greatest story ever told is the story of the Lord Jesus that runs from eternity past to eternity in the future. It has absolutely no beginning, and it has no end. So you should never get tired of telling the story, because it's exhaustless. There's always more to it. In fact, when I like to think about it, I like to think about it this way. I refer to it as the story of redemption. You know, when it comes to the Bible, there's a main theme that runs right from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation, and that is the story of redemption. Now, there's lots of other things that are in the Bible as well, but as you read through the Bible, that story is woven through the entire Bible. You know, there's history in there, the history of Israel. There's geography in there. There's science in there. There's poetry in there. There's prophecy in there. There's church truth in there. All kinds of information, good information, God-given information is found in the Bible. But the main theme of the Bible is the story of redemption. Do you know the story of redemption? Can you tell it to your children? Could you go from eternity to eternity and tell them the story of Jesus as it's laid out for us in the Bible? And so I thought, well, I want to keep this a little bit modern, so we'll go to the iPad now. I always want to call it an iPod, but it's an iPad. And let's bring it up. The greatest story ever told. And then we'll just switch the screen. And so here's the index of the story. And you, this is just one I made up. But, you know, you could talk about the story of redemption in the beginning. How that the Lord Jesus was with God. How that God planned the story, planned redemption before time ever began. It's hard to understand, but it's true. And so we can talk about the beginning, about the fall of man, the entrance of sin, the need for redemption. And you can follow it through the scriptures, through all the books of Moses and down through. Talk about the promised land. Talk about the Israelites in exile. Talk about the birth of the Lord Jesus. The story of Jesus as a man. His crucifixion, resurrection. And it goes on. His work today is the great high priest. And then, of course, the coming day when he's going to reign as king. And so this story is exhaustless. And then I thought, well, why is it the greatest story that was ever told? You know, what makes it so great? And, you know, you could likely write down reason after reason after reason, but I only have 15 minutes left, so I can't do that many. But I thought of three reasons why I believe that the story of redemption that we find in the Bible is the greatest story ever told. Here's my first one. It's true. It's hard to find truth in this world, isn't it? Now, how do you know what's true? Think of all the different situations that we have now, especially politically. You hardly know what's true and what's false. And a lot of stories in this world, like, they might have some truth to them, but the false is mixed in there. But my friend, when it comes to the story of redemption, when it comes to the Bible, it is absolutely true. No falsehood at all. And it's the only story that we can be absolutely sure of its truth. And so that, to me, makes it the greatest story ever told. Now, here's another one. When you look at the story of redemption and you read the story of redemption, the interesting thing is that the story involves the teller and it also involves the listener. And it has always involved the teller and the listener. Right? Like, just think of that. What other story is that true of? Except the story of redemption. You see, if I'm telling the story, I'm part of that story. Because when God planned redemption, when he decided to send his son into the world to redeem me from my sin, to redeem me, you see, I'm part of that story. And the reason I told it and I'm telling it to my children and my grandchildren is because this story is of utmost importance to them because they're part of the story. They need a redeemer. In fact, let me say this to you, those of you who are parents. The most important need of your child is to have their sins forgiven and to know Christ as Savior. Nothing is more important. And so this story then, I'm so thankful that it involves both the teller and the listener. And here's the other one. And it says that those who know it best are those who want to hear it the most. I never get tired of the story. I love the story of Jesus and his love. I love to hear it. I love to sing about it. And my friend, everyone who has experienced God's salvation, if you don't love this story, if you get tired of it and you don't want to hear it anymore, then I would suggest that you might have heart trouble. And perhaps you need to go to see the heart doctor. Because if your heart is right with the Lord, you will never, never, never tire of the story of redemption. It's the best story that was ever told. The story of redemption. And it's our responsibility to make sure that our children and our grandchildren know that story, and they know it inside out from beginning to the end, because it's the most important story in all the world. So here we are. There's Marion and Phil and their three girls. Marion and Phil have a lot of responsibilities in this life. Phil even has to work for Andrew Sarlo. Imagine that. A lot of responsibilities. But there they are sitting with their three girls, Abby, Maggie, and Charlotte. Their responsibility is to teach those three girls the story of redemption. And so even though they might get busy, and even though they have a lot of responsibilities, it is of utmost importance that they take the time and the effort to diligently teach those girls the story of redemption. And you know what? They've only got a few years to do it. You know, I remember, and I've shown you this picture before. See that little family? I know I've got, you know, I tried to grow a mustache once, didn't get... have much luck, but there we are. That's Ruth and I and our four children. You know, at one time, I figured that's the way it was going to be. You know, Ruth and I, Marion, Cheryl, Andrew, Philip. But you know what? They're all on their own now. We're enjoying the empty nest. Can't say that without laughing. But you know what? We only had a few years. And really now it seems like you've got less years, right? We used to have grade 13. But now think of how early children head off to university with Abby. She's got 3 more years. She'll be on her own. So we've got this short period of time. And during that short period of time, we need to use it to tell them the story of redemption. Life is so short, and yet it's so important. And so whatever you do, make sure you tell them the story. Because the last thing you would ever want is for one of your family members to be lost forever. They need to know the story. They need to be saved. They need God's salvation. Make sure there's other things that are important. We have to look after our children, feed them, clothe them, give them housing, make sure they have an enjoyable life. All those things are important, but not as important as this. So I thought, I'm doing all right. I got 5 minutes to talk about a few resources, because you know, it's not always easy. And it's good to have some resources for parents in order to help you with telling this story. So the first one I put up, of course, I've mentioned it many times before. It's one of my favorites. It's called Adventures in Odyssey. And you can hear it. It's from Focus on the Family. And it's excellent for children. If your children don't listen to Adventures in Odyssey, they should. And not only can you get it on the radio, so it's radio dramas, but you can buy the CD sets. And just to give you a little idea about the impact of Adventure and Odyssey, my youngest son, Philip, turned 30 this year. And he has Adventure and Odyssey CDs in his vehicle. And when he drives from Detroit home to Sault Ste. Marie, he listens to Adventures and Odyssey. It's a kids' program. And yet those stories are so good that he still listens to them. And you know what? Here's some good advice for men. When you're driving, you should have good things to listen to. An idle mind is the devil's playground. And so when you're driving along by yourself, you need to be listening to something good. Whether it's Adventures in Odyssey, whether it's Alistair Begg, whether it's some other speaker, whether it's good Christian music, make sure you're listening to something that fills your mind with things that are good. Because if you don't fill your mind with good, Satan will do everything in his power to fill it with evil. And so there's the first one. Now, here's another one. I've actually got this one. But this here is excellent for parents as well. It's called the Action Bible. Now, when I was a boy, we read the King James. But I would suggest for your families that you get them the Action Bible. I know that Marion and Phil have this for their girls, and they read it all the time. And they'll get all the Bible stories. They'll get the story of redemption. They'll want to read it. And it's made for children. So there's the Bible to buy for children, as far as I'm concerned. The Action Bible. But then there's other things as well. The next thing here is, this is an excellent book right here for you with your children. And it's called The Lamb. And of course, we know who the Lamb was. But it's an excellent book. And it's really the story of redemption. And so when you're reading to your children, then rather than reading to them about Goldilocks or the three pigs or whatever, get this story here. Read this to them. It's a good story. They'll listen to it. It's interesting. And at the same time, you'll be fulfilling your God-given responsibility. You'll be telling them the story of redemption. And that's not all. Back to focus on the family. Now this here, if you want to do devotionals with your children, then this here is called Mealtime Devotions. Maybe take time before you eat or after you eat. And it's going to be something they're interested in. They won't say, oh, not again. Right? It's good. So there's something for you. Here's something else. This here is if you have, like, teens. Excellent devotion book for teens. Right? This is something to get them and encourage them to read it. And it's good reading and it's interesting for them. So that's something. Then what do your children listen to? Now, this is kind of old, but it's called, it's by Steve Green. And I see Nicholas laughing. He likely had to listen to it. But it's all these songs for children, and it's about the story of redemption. Marion was telling me that the other, you know, Abby's a teenager now, and so she was kind of laughing at this and saying, you know, like, really? You know, Steve Green, he's kind of old. But then she had to babysit her cousin, Kate, and Marion was upstairs. And all of a sudden she heard something. And guess what she heard? She heard this CD. So she called down. She said, hey, Abby, are you teaching Kate the story? And the answer is one word. Yep. I like that. Right? So that's what you make sure. It doesn't have to be that one, but make sure it's good. And then there's all kinds of magazines. Okay, here's a good one. Answers you know, and it goes through a lot of different age groups. Here's for the little guys, Junior Clubhouse. That's a good magazine to get them. Have that coming into the house. If your children are a little bit older, you can get them clubhouse, right? It's good. And then if you have teen girls, this one's especially good, right? So there's resources out there. And if you have children and you want to look at any of these, you're welcome to come up very soon, because I'm pretty well finished, and take a look at them. Good stuff in order to use, in order to tell your children the story of redemption. And so we're going to close now. Ask God to bless each family. That would be our heart's prayer and desire. And that every child that's over in that Sunday school, and every child that's up in the nursery, that early in life they will come to know the Lord Jesus, the one who can give them eternal life, and the one who can preserve them in this life from a life of sin. Because when we're saved by God's grace, we're not only saved from the penalty of sin, but I'm so thankful that I am saved from the power of sin in my life because of the grace of God. Now, I'm going to do something here that's a little bit retro, but you see, I'm kind of retro myself. You know, getting up there, but I'm going to have a video of a song. Now, it's not modern. It was written in 1800 by Fanny Crosby. And it's a little bit slow, but what I want you to do is try and forget the music and listen to the words. Written by Fanny Crosby in 1800, and then we'll close in prayer. You can sing along too if you know it, 'cause I'm going to.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth.
When I was in Sunday school, I learned one other little one. I'm not going to have you sing it. But it's a good story. It's a story of a little boy dying in a tent. I think it was Andrew Sarlo's favorite Sunday school course. Little boy dying in a tent, and somebody brought him the gospel, and he got saved. And as he laid there, he looked up at the person who had brought him the gospel, and he said these words, "Tell it again. Tell it again. Salvation story. Repeat over and over. Till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before." Father, thank you for the story of redemption. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Help us to ever appreciate the story and to pass it on from generation to generation. And for each of our families, Lord, we pray that each one would come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. And in that coming day, when we stand around the throne, that the family circle will be complete, and that each one will be standing there as a sinner saved by grace. Bless our families as we go home and our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.